Wherever you go. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Now, here comes the music.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to it. It's another installment of the show with Clayton McKee on this Q-Talk America Radio Network, broadcasting all around the world and to the ships at sea every Tuesday night, coming to you from our humble studios in Central Phoenix, Arizona, USA. Hi, everybody. Nero's in the chat room.
Both chat rooms.
Oh, she's in. How is that working out?
Very busy.
My multitasking people. Yeah. By the way, we do have two chat rooms. We've got the standard one we typically use, and the one that's alongside the YouTube channel. But at some point, we're going to have a monitor in here that we can actually see it.
And I try to monitor the YouTube one, but
it's
about it for like 30 minutes at a time.
Totally understand.
Could we do a split screen? Could we do like the top half you're asking chat room and the bottom half?
My God, Kat Carlson now wants a split screen. With our budget, maybe. You never
do
know.
Do I have to chip in for that?
Oh, we all do. Of course all we right. do. By the way, Marnie is out this week. She had some project, she said, she had for work she had to get done. She's on quite the sleep deficit, according to what she had... She had messaged us earlier that she may or may not remember driving to an appointment she had earlier today.
That's very dangerous.
That's worrisome. Yeah. It's actually more dangerous sometimes to drive that tired than it is to drive drunk.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because when you're drunk, you're in defense. You can do anything. But you're tired, she's not driving.
Marnie, don't get a DWT.
Yeah.
Driving while tired.
Exactly. Oh, there's Mama Di, Summer, Danielle is all in there. Meow Cal. Dramatic opening music is dramatic. What does that even mean?
Well, I don't think he usually makes it for the beginning.
We're very dramatic.
He's finishing up his cartography duties and then seems to join us a little bit after.
We would like I think.
A cartographic.
Yeah. Is that how you do it?
I don't know.
I'd like you to finish up your duties a little earlier or take a break and join the show before we start, because it's really exciting, that opening that I spent so many hours on.
It's super exciting.
Super. This is show 347. It is the 5th of June, 2018, at least from where we are sitting right now.
What day is that, the 5th?
It's the 5th. 5. It would be Cinco de Juno. I think that's how they would do it. Sure. Cool. Sure. Whatever. I'm not good at this.
Say, I don't know my Spanish months. As it turns out.
Enero, febrero, marzo, abril, mayo, junio, julio, agosto, septiembre, noviembre, octubre, diciembre.
There is your Latin lesson for today. Look at you.
Well, a lot of them are just numbers until July and August came up.
Yeah. And then the braise. I like the braise. Septembre, novembre.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because September should be 7. But it's not because of July, because of Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar.
Damn the Caesars.
November should be 9, December should be 10. Like, there should be 10 months in the year. And it should end just in numbers. It should be really simple to remember, but...
Oh, clearly I missed a
two
page out of my
history. Egotistical motherfuckers.
I must have missed something somewhere.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how calendars work.
I guess that I learned a whole new way calendars work. It's kind of right.
The weekdays are after Norse gods, like Tweis. Like, there's the moon and the sun, and then there's Tweis, Odin, Thor. Thursday is Thor, Odin is Wednesday,
right.
Tweis is Tuesday, Freeze is Friday.
You think you're Thor.
And then Saturn is Saturday. Like, isn't that... So, I mean, I know all my shit. I just remember what gods the beginning months are. Like, I don't know what gods Enero and Febrero and all those are.
Oh, could you get on that? Because I know calendars go right alongside mapping.
Oh,
so
sure.
I figure you could be our cartographer and our calendographer.
In fact, you know what we've done? We've expanded your departments.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
No, just with duties, not with budgets.
No, there's no new
personnel.
There was
no downsizing. No one lost a job.
Nobody lost a job. You just gained more duties.
But there's no upsizing either, except for your workload.
I was obsessed in junior high with like different mythologies.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Norse gods, the Roman gods, the Greek gods, how they all became each other. I love that shit.
They're all the same.
Then they made Xanadu and they included it all into a movie musical with Olivia Newton-John.
And life was complete.
Dreams do come true. That's the point of that story.
Wow, I did not realize that Xanadu was part of any of that.
Yeah, it's about the nine muses of art coming to life.
Good God. So now there's another reason.
To inspire someone to paint album covers. I mean, it's just bizarre.
So wait, so that's a reason to go back and watch that movie to figure out that shit now?
Well, it's kind of, you kind of get it in the opening sequence.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen it. I think I've just seen segments of it. Because isn't Gene Kelly in it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I know Gene Kelly, Olivia Newton-John, some roller skating.
Michael Beck. Mm-hmm. Roller skating.
Don't know who Michael Beck. Who's Michael Beck?
From The Warriors and Xanadu. He had two big movie credits.
That was it.
And
Xanadu, luckily, one of them was Xanadu.
And luckily, I liked both of them.
All right. I do enjoy this song.
In my mind, somewhere he comes around in that Eddie and the Cruisers movie. So I think somehow he's in that, but I don't know for sure.
I do have the vinyl soundtrack to Xanadu because I got it, like I've told the story before. My mom, many, 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 many years ago, worked for ABC Records, and she was responsible for going to, at that time, I don't know if it was just Walmart stores in the Midwest where we lived, or if there were other stores, but she had to go and restock vinyl into their displays.
Oh, yeah.
So we oftentimes wound up with all kinds of albums and stuff. So
something that fell off the truck.
Sure. I have that in my collection of vinyl, so.
Oh, my cousin Chrissy went and saw that, my movie partner from the summer, because our parents would visit and just dump us up together at a movie theater and be like, see you in 8 hours. So we saw a lot of movies as kids.
That might be my summer strategy, in fact.
Oh, if I can't fix your lawnmower, it's going to be, you're going to send these kids.
It's back to the movies for you.
I'll tell you what, kid, the first movie's at 10 a.m., I'll pick you up at 9.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck with that.
It's back to the popcorn count of you.
Here's $50, have a good day. Goodbye.
$50, wow.
I don't know. Well, how much would,
well, no, be, but you're what, right.
Four movies?
Right, you're right, though.
Right?
Yeah, and until they learn the gentle art of sneaking from theater to theater, which they do not encourage, but...
Right, which I cannot condone.
No, but I recall hearing my mom tell stories of how they used to ride a bus from the corner from where we lived, 4 miles north of town, mm-hmm. and they would ride, like, on the weekends, you know, they'd have a couple dollars, and they would literally ride the bus all the way in, and they'd spend all day at the theater, you know, the big old Fox Theater or whatever theaters. They'd spend all day watching movies for just a couple bucks.
Sure.
Yeah, double feature, triple feature at Oscar time.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw Xanadu and we were convinced it was the greatest movie ever made.
Ever.
And then it came on cable and I had the album that I like, because when we cleaned the house, we got to listen to an album. And there was a good long time where Xanadu was not movable from my hands.
Okay.
And then it came out on DVD. I did not have a DVD player, but I bought it.
Well, you know, anticipation.
Smart. Came out on CD. Smart. I did not have a CD player, but I bought it. Because I still listen to that. That soundtrack for Xanadu is still tits. Couple of good Olivia Newton-John songs, and then ELO.
ELO is right. ELO,
and then
is
the old. Tubes Tubes have a fun song with a big band. Like,
well, now I'm gonna have to dig out that
Faye Wabel and the Tubes. Do you dance into?
I actually may have it on CD. I just don't realize. Actually, no, I know I do because I've took your entire collection and ripped your CD, so I know I have it on CD or I have it on my iTunes. So, wow. So I'll do that this week. I'll see if I can't relive some Xanadu.
And then there's a Friends episode where they're like, the TV's going back and forth, and Phoebe goes, Xanadu! And she sits down, and I'm like, yep. Xanadu made me realize I was gay. Because she looked good in that movie, is what I'm thinking, Danielle.
Because Xanadu was that was before physical, wasn't it? That was way before.
About the same time. It's like the same year. Physical might just be later that same year.
Oh, I thought Xanadu was
before.
It's all
like 1980. I mean, it's probably the summer of, and then Physical was her hit in the fall of.
Oh, okay.
Look at that. I don't even have to dig it out. It's right there in the Spotify. I can stream it at a moment's notice.
Look at you. Look at the good you can do.
Lots of good that can be.
Now, were you as a...
Got some dancing to do. I think it might be just called Dancing. That song is just terrific. It's a big band and the Tubes.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to guess, though, because Xanadu, I call it a roller skating movie. I don't know if that's what...
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have the same affinity for Starlight Express?
No, that's the worst show I've ever seen.
I really had no idea
how good Cats was until
Starlight Express.
That bitch rolled downstage on skates. Me and my mother saw that, and we kind of broke up with musical theater for a little while because we had seen Sunday in the Park with George, and I held the 3 hours I spent trying to knock myself unconscious on the back of the chair. And then we saw Starlight Express a short while later, and I was like, musical theater is just awful. Either they're gonna, this guy's gonna sing a whole song barking like a dog that made me want to put a bullet in his head because I thought something's wrong with that dog. We should probably old yeller it.
Poor Mandy Patinkin.
And then we saw Starlight Express, and I just remember looking at my mother and being like, what the fuck is wrong with British people? Like, this is just... But it's where we get Jane Krakowski from. That's her Broadway debut. Oh,
well, shit. Broadway debut. It only recently hit me in the head that she is in Vacation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
She's the...
And that might... Yeah, yes. That might not be her Broadway debut. That's just her big... She was a big star.
Did you realize that? She's in National Lampoon's Vacation. She's the one that says...
She's the cousin.
She's the cousin.
My daddy says, I'm the best kisser.
What?
In the seventh grade.
That's Jane Krakowski. I didn't realize it either until I was watching... I told you a couple weeks ago that there was a behind-the-scenes series about Caddyshack, and then they went into National Lampoon's Vacation.
Right.
And I watched like the first 5 or 10 minutes, and she was in it, and they showed the scene. I'm like, oh my God, I never realized that was Jane Krakowski. So that's where we. I don't know if that was one of her very first. It had to be one of her first when she was young.
Yeah, I mean, and her career goes back longer. That's what I mean. When I thought about that, about Starlight Express, that was probably wasn't her first Broadway credit. It was just her first, like, possibly Tony nominated for it. I'm not sure.
I'd have to Google.
But crazy how long she's been working, and every once in a while they'll have her on a TV show, or maybe it was Graham Norton that was talking about all the people she's the same age as, like. Like all the child stars that, like, where are they? Oh. But you're still
you're
here,
still
even
going.
Though they were the star of this thing that you were like third tree from the left.
And she's still
you're
going.
Still going.
Now, Starlight Express has a fond memory, but it just rings a bell with me because when I first started, when I first went to Vegas in '93, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. The Hilton, which used to be the International, which is where Elvis used to perform, they were redoing the big sign out in front of the Hilton and they were redoing the entire, I want to say amphitheater, but I may be using the wrong word. They were redoing all of that showroom because they were installing...
Amphitheater-ish. Does it have to be outdoors? Yeah.
Okay, it was an amphitheater then. But it's the same room that Elvis had done, you know, for all those years.
Auditorium, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Showroom, I guess, whatever. Anyway, they were redoing it to install Starlight Express.
That's where I saw it.
It was a huge, big thing, and they were touting, but it did last like 2 weeks, and they were like, oh, God, no, this is done. It couldn't have lasted long in Vegas.
It went on forever, as far as my mom was concerned.
But the run in Vegas, I don't think was very long. I don't know if it was a year, maybe a little more.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a run of trying to, like, attract the crowd that sometimes went to New York, because... Like, Cats played at, like, the Aladdin for a while.
No.
Or one of those, the Stardust or the Aladdin. Like, they were trying to put in, like, legitimate shows. The Phantom of the Opera played there at some capacity. Didn't and then they were it. Like, we just need to make up our own shit and do, like, David Cassidy does this bullshit.
Joseph and the Amazing Spectacular Dream Cup?
Yeah, but then he did some, like, he didn't really do that show. He just did some other nonsense where he walked around, like, singing stuff in a vague story, like... I think, was it called FX? It had some weird name. And they would put in, like, a mid-level 70s star to, like, take over. But David Cassidy seemed to be in it the most.
And then it became the Donnie and Marie show at the Flamingo.
Just craziness.
They just left those two there.
And there you go.
And when The Wynn opened, they tried to do Avenue Q as, like, an in-house show and have a permanent house for it. And they did the weird thing of making it 90 minutes, no intermission, which I don't understand. Hmm. I think, well, people want to gamble, so once you let them up, they're going to go find a slot machine. Right. But it was such a weird crowd to have, to be in Vegas, that, like, conservative, Midwestern, it's just got a weird vibe to it, and try to put in this snarky New York dirty puppet show that was completely off color, but they hadn't made the switch yet. They were still trying to get the old people into Vegas. They hadn't made it, like... trying to get the Aria crowd. You know what I mean? They hadn't made it where now those people might find Avenue Q and think it's kind of funny.
Right.
But you weren't going to get the silver hairs.
It doesn't seem like a win show for me. It seems like something that you'd have like at an Aria or the Cosmopolitan or something else.
Right, but none of those existed. Right. Like, it was just Steve Wynn. What are you doing with this? Really?
It's interesting to me when
with the line, you know, George Bush is only for now.
When I go to Vegas, which is very infrequent, I used to go often, more often when I was traveling up to Charlie's up there for work and stuff. But it's so interesting to me that I remember the first time I went to Vegas and I thought they couldn't get any more crap on the Strip. And then I'm like,
how wrong you were.
Well, right, but I don't understand. Like, all of a sudden, like, there's the Aria, the Cosmopolitan, all these hotels were built. And I'm like, I don't even remember what was there before. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did you just get rid of a parking
lot?
Some
of that there just wasn't. There was those spaces because the south end of the strip, you know, once you pass like, Caesars and Bally's, there was a lot of open
there was a
land
gap in
and
there.
Then the Tropicana, because the Tropicana was at the far south end of the strip. And
right.
It was kind of isolated and alone there for many years. Like, that was near nothing.
Yeah. Right, because it's right off the airport in the MGM Excalibur. Right,
but all of those came at the Tropicana's been there since like
the
50s or 60s, where it sat all alone. So you don't remember that in that space between like the Monte Carlo, which has been there probably 20 years. Down there was like little shitty things there, like there was convenience stores, like there wasn't there's nothing really missing from that space.
And then where the Stardust was south of that, there was a lot of open space too on that side of the strip,
right? And then they filled in, and like the desert became, I think the desert became the Wynn, and people were like, oh my god, do you have any idea what kind of golf course is back there? I'm like, yeah, probably one from the Desert Classic. Like, that golf course has been famous longer than Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh my god, he built the most beautiful. No, no, he didn't.
They just put the hotel in front of it.
Yeah. He mowed the lawn. Like, that was the strangest thing to realize, that people didn't, like, people in their 20s had no idea that, like, this always existed. It's a new building in front of it, but that ship back there has been there. The Sahara with that old shitty roller coaster that went through the casino that was so much fun. And then New York did it, and that was so much fun too. But like that Sahara roller coaster that eventually was just a dump.
Like,
the Sahara was like right in the middle, prime real estate. And they had a roller coaster in the back for no reason. They had no park to go around it.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Go continue on.
But the Sahara had a roller coaster out back, and eventually is like hard times fell, like that's where they were like storing old beds, so you would go out and ride this roller coaster.
Oh god,
that was seriously just going around the dumpsters. Like, you're like, the last time we rode it was like 2006 or 7, and I'm like, how is this still going? And then they tore it down.
Okay, wait, maybe I am thinking of the same one. It's on the north end. It was north of the Riv.
Oh yes, yeah, the north end. Yes, it was close to the north end.
Okay, so I'm thinking of the right one, because you would drive down the street, and at one point the roller coaster just came out and was beside the street with you, and then went back in the building. But on the the back side of the building would be where all that shit was.
Yeah,
got it.
It was weird.
And I think they leveled that. I don't know what they put there now, but I because they closed it.
No, they closed it. Now it's.
Oh, did they rebrand it as something else?
Yeah, like there's a Planet Hollywood down there now. There's all kinds of shit down in
the
area.
I haven't been to the north end of the strip in a long time.
Yeah.
Because every time I go, I'm like, well, first of all, I don't really give a shit about gambling. And then everything, I just kind of stay in that more of the southern area.
Yeah, I wonder.
It's odd that we got on a Vegas topic. I am glad to know.
I love to gamble. I used to go there all
the
time.
I am glad to say that I was actually, the first time I went there, I stayed at the Stardust, which is no longer in existence. But I was glad to have actually been able to stay there, because in several movies, like Wayne Newton pulls up and he's there. Well, that's where his show was, at least when I was there. I don't know where the hell he's performing now, but that grand entrance was there underneath that big awning and all of the neon underneath it. So
it was so
classic
glamorous.
Vegas.
Yeah, so and the sign was the best thing to do when you were drunk, was just to watch that sign light up and unlight. And now it's so, you're like, really? That, you know what I mean? Feels like we were looking at fire, you know?
And
it's so down market, as the British Prime Minister said this week.
I loved it because it was right across, the Stardust was right across the street from the Riviera. Again, another hotel that's closed. But I remember when I was first there in November of 93, right after I had shot the Maury Povich show, and I was going up there to meet Frank Marino, and I walked out, because I'd never been there, it was my first time. Drove my little S10 truck up there, and I had my cassette queued up for Viva Las Vegas when I crested the hill and saw the strip and played it all. But I remember staying there and
the whole experience.
And you walked out from the parking lot from our room, and it was just, and you're on the north part of the strip, but I was just mesmerized, because you've got, you know, the Stardust, all that, and then the sign, and then the Riviera. The whole front of it was just neon. Right next to it was Circus, and I forget what else, whatever.
The
and
MGM
then
Caesars.
Oh, wow.
Caesars and Circus, that's all right next to each other.
Caesars is is further south.
Caesars is right next to Circus. They're right next to each other. I was in Circus watching them film Rain Man.
How in the hell can that be? Because there's a lot of space between Circus and Caesars.
They both built towers. They're next to each other.
I'm going to have to check that, because Caesar's Palace is down by the fountains with the Bellagio.
Yeah, and Circus is right next to it.
No, it's not. Circus is way up north, just south of the needle.
Stand by.
Yes, it is.
Stay at the Circus. Watch them film Rain Man.
I'm going to have to pull up a map. Where's our cartographer? I need a map of
I'm pulling up a map
of
right
Vegas,
now.
Please.
Hang on.
There may be something in between them, but I doubt it.
Well, there's a huge space in between them. Because you had Stardust, and then however many other fucking things
are. The Silver Slipper used to be there, too, somewhere.
Before you get to Caesars. Because Caesars is down, if I'm not mistaken.
We're talking current, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope Circus isn't gone.
No, Circus...
It might be gone.
No. I can't imagine that Circus is gone.
All right, so
I don't see it. I'm going to go...
I'll look at
go
the map.
Go north too. To south. I've got Encore at the Wynn Las Vegas.
It's north of the
Palazzo, the Venetian, Casino Royale, Harrah's, Imperial Palace, Flamingo.
Oh, you're going south.
I'm headed north to south.
Okay.
On the
you've got to be on the
east side of the street.
West side of the street, north. Start at the Space Needle. Or what do you call it? Stratosphere.
Circus is out there by itself across from the Riviera.
Yeah.
According to this map from an unknown source.
Which is accurate.
LasVegasMap.com.
I think they would know. But yeah, Circus is across from the Riviera, yeah. Which was across
ways,
from the Stardust.
Circus, Riviera is across the street.
I think you just have, I don't doubt you saw what you saw, but I think you just have a name wrong.
No, but it's nowhere near the Stratosphere. That she just said.
No, they're far apart. Big
I understand
space.
That, but it's closer to the Stratosphere than Caesar's is.
Yes.
By a long shot.
By a bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Circus is almost halfway between the Stratosphere and Caesar's Palace.
Mm-hmm. And there's a big space between...
Big space.
Between Circus and where Caesar's is.
Right, I'm basically mixing up two different trips.
I'm sure you are. But it's all right. It's still there. We can all still go and gamble if you want to.
I'd love to
gamble. What did you do this week, Kat? Oh, you've been a busy woman.
Very busy.
My God.
Very busy. Making the t-shirts left and right, mm-hmm. up and down. Forward and backward.
You did how many today?
About 70.
About 70 shirts.
70 shirts. I have a 100 shirt order.
Mm-hmm.
I fucked up about 15 of them, though. So. Whoops. No, I learned a lot of things today, just kind of trial and error, and I had like a long enough run of shirts to do to really kind of try a couple of different things, and it turns out I need to slow the fuck down.
Okay.
Causing myself some problems by just being in a damn hurry, which is okay.
Right.
But yeah, now they're turning out really great, and I'm really excited about this order. And it's for a company, so it may be like
that's what I was happy to hear for you.
Lots of work could come out of it if I do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on doing that.
And if I may ask, is the company? Not worried about which company. Are they doing it as a promotion purely for the company, or are they trying to raise money for something? Or
so it is their 25th anniversary,
okay.
coming up, and so they had shirts made for their staff. Okay. They say they have their logo on the front that says 25th anniversary above it, and then on the back they put like 25 years, 300 months, whatever the math works out to,
okay.
and counting. So it's cute, okay, and gotcha. Celebratory for their anniversary.
It's almost like doing the count in Rent.
Yeah, almost.
525,600. Yeah, it's almost like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and they went all the way down to minutes, and it's more than 525,600.
Well, yeah, for 25 years.
It's 25 years. So it's 25 times whatever 525,600 minutes is. Do your own math.
That's fair.
Yes, that's completely fair.
But yeah, very busy with that.
Very cool.
Very busy. We've extended our time in the old Cobalt by a week.
Oh.
Yep, they've decided after all to stay open up until the very last minute.
Because what they want is they want your ass in town to help with the move.
That's what I asked.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, Jeffrey messaged me today. He's like, okay, so officially our last day is going to be the 30th now. And I said, is this because I've been bragging about not being here for moving?
Mm-hmm.
So when do you come back to town?
Friday, and our last day is Saturday. So I which is okay. You know what? I would have been... probably a little bummed to not be there for the last day.
Right.
You know, so it actually works out okay.
So the 30th of June is the closing of the existing
the
Cobalt.
Very last day that we're going to be open in the old space.
Cool. Well, yeah. that should be a big party. That should be fun.
That should be a lot of fun. And I got to go this week and see the new space.
Cool.
Which was very cool. And they had the bar already framed out. And
very nice.
Yeah. So I basically just automatically walked in and went behind the bar because. Where else do I go?
Right.
What else do I do?
Liquor cabinet.
Right.
Behind the bar.
Yeah. That's all I do. But it is, the photos make it look gigantic because there's nothing in there yet. Like, I don't know if you've seen any photos on social media.
I have
media
seen a couple that he's posted.
It's yeah. Exciting.
But the photos make it look gigantic. But when you actually walk in there and feel the space, it's exactly the right size.
Cool.
Like, I'm so excited about it.
Oh, very good.
It's exactly the right size. It's not overwhelmingly huge because I was worried. You know what I mean? Like, the photos looked bigger and I know the square footage is bigger. And I was like, is this going to be too big? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I'm actually trying to find I know he had posted. I'm just going to snag a couple pictures because I know he had posted a couple.
But it's very cool and it's a very simple, very open layout, which is cool.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of the shenanigans that we have now. But, you know.
The candy cane shape.
Right.
It's not quite a horseshoe.
And the bar that we're, the space that we're in right now was so many things before it was ever even a bar.
And it's all retrofitted on.
It was a bar before it was us. You know what I mean? Like, it was somebody else made that a bar. And it had some, like, weird castle theme at some point.
Yeah, there's.
Weird.
I was new the shoe guy, so I knew that there was something behind there.
Yeah.
And when somebody said it was a bar, a gay bar, I was like, huh.
Yeah, I don't recall it being a bar earlier because I knew the shoe place, and then you'll remember from years and years ago, across the walkway there before that patio was there for Cobalt, was where Snow Goose was. Snow Goose was the, back in the day, it was the gay gift shop. It was like what we used to have here with, what was it called here on Central?
Unique on Central.
Unique
on Central.
Yeah, well, actually, Grey Goose became Unique on Central when he sold it and moved over here. But yeah, Grey Goose used to be there.
So now
it's all glass. There used to be a doorway there, and that's the first, I guess, gay gift shop that I knew of, where a lot of things were themed rainbowy and, you know, LGBT whatever oriented back then.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I don't recall
fucking everything.
But I don't recall the bar at the time because I wasn't paying attention to it.
Yeah, there was a bar before it was Cobalt, and it had like a medieval theme for a minute.
And I if I'm not mistaken, and I probably am because I'm wrong about many things, I think it was an early morning bar. I think it was one of those places that you could start drinking at 6 a.m.
Sure, they had that weird license. Right there.
Ah.
If I'm not mistaken, it was one of those.
That's not a weird license anymore. You just have to make the choice now. I don't know if it used to be a weird license to open that early, but...
Oh, I think it was any day, but Sunday it was a weird choice. I think Sunday was what made it weird. But they couldn't do it. I think they could be open... I don't think.
Maybe. Is it still that way, or is it all 6 a.m. now?
It's all 6 a.m.
Or,
do you,
or
a.m.
is Sunday is still an exception?
No, I think Sunday's the
no,
same.
No, Sunday they ended. Sunday you can serve earlier, because I know, I go to breakfast all the time and have liquor, so...
Sure.
Well, it makes sense, because I'm sure Cruisin'...
That was our last Blue Law.
At 6 a.m.
Yes, every
so
damn day.
Yep.
Oh, that's right, Oz does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what...
I should have known that.
Yeah, and it would make sense that there would have been, at some point, a bar either at or near where Cobalt is right now, because the hospital's right there. And those third shift nurses, they get off work and they want to drink. Where are they going to go?
We be drinking.
Right.
Oh, and somebody who may just have had a horrible night in the hospital with a friend. I think I'm going to have a little drinky poo.
Listen, every once in a while they come by with the IV, with the little IV cart and everything, and we have to send them back.
No. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That wandered out for a cigarette and never came back.
Every once in a while, somebody crazy toddles by. Not so much anymore since the construction, because they
blocked off
all that throughway, so it's a lot harder to get to us from the hospital. but I've chased off many a hospital gown.
That's funny. I never thought about that.
No, sir, you can't be here. You have to go back to wherever you came from. Do you need help? Can we help you?
Can we assist you?
Yeah. And then what else? And then I brought you a lawnmower to look at.
Not as a gift. No, it's a project.
As a request to please help us.
And I'd like to let all the listeners know, you have really set the expectations and the bar low for this, because you referred to it as
It's a poorly maintained 20-year-old lawnmower.
Yeah. Okay.
That we just leave sit out in the backyard all the time, unless we're using it like once a month. Like, we don't even mow our grass that often.
Okay.
Like, once a month, somebody goes, we should probably mow that shit down.
I feel like I'm going to be able to resurrect it.
I really hope so. Sure. I really hope so.
Lazarus, the motherfucker.
We'll get you.
And if not, like I said, it's 20 years old and poorly kept, so it may be time for a new one.
Well, I mowed a friend's yard today, in fact, with a 50-year-old mower that I own. So I have high expectations for this one.
I feel like you maintain your mowers a little bit
better
than I do.
You're damn right I do. Vacuums as well.
Jesus.
Well,
again, I've left it sit out in the sun. I've done nothing to it. at all.
It's all right. We'll get we will get through this.
Okay.
Figure it all out.
I'm excited about
it. Well, congrats, though, on the short orders. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it and very excited that I fixed a couple of issues that I was having and and can actually like produce a good result.
Making money from home.
I mean,
I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to do it.
Until I get tired of being at home and I move it to a shop, which is the hope for later this year. We'll
see. My goal is to get out of the house a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. See the sun. Look at that.
Oh, my God. I think I got a little sun, though.
You do? Well, also the contrast. Now, people watching believe that that is a white shirt, sure.
No, one's that stupid.
That is
wear a white shirt.
That is a lime green.
It is not lime. It's a sea mist
It's
at
a
best.
Sherbert.
It's a very nice sea foam.
Yeah, sea foam. Mist.
All right, there's that. Got it.
Yeah, so I decided I had the week off. It's been very nice.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I worked that horrible schedule last week that made me
I should have pestered you on Sunday,
die.
Then. I went to see a play too. I've been very busy.
Oh, I know.
My God.
You saw, how was The Humans?
It was good.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. It was.
Was the name of the play you saw? Was Humans?
It was called The Humans. Oh. Uh huh. And it was
Tony Award winning from 2 years ago.
Correct. And funny enough, 90 minutes, no intermission.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was good. It's about like dysfunctional family at Thanksgiving, and you know, like banter back and forth, and the usual kinds of issues.
Art imitates
and then,
life.
And it has a strange ending that I don't understand art, so I don't, like, if they're not tap dancing about it, I'm like, I don't know why they did that, but okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Is it an ending that makes you think, like, rather than just be razzmatazz and dance and finish?
It's a play, so it wasn't a musical at all, so there's
bad.
No razzmatazz and dance
Damn
at
it.
All.
Damn it.
It's all dialogue.
Okay.
And... Well, I don't know.
And plays are hard to end because, like,
right.
If they don't end with like something that like sums up the whole theme in a way that makes everybody happy, like August Osage County,
mm-hmm.
they just kind of all wander away. And the same with Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, where you're just like, I guess they're done talking.
Yeah.
This is all this was about. Like, what happens the next day? Where are you going for dinner? You know what I mean? Like,
right. And very much like that. Like, they're at the youngest daughter's house for Thanksgiving, which is unusual because they always go to mom and dad's house in Scranton, and you know. Grandma's got Alzheimer's and she's hard to manage and she's living with mom and dad, and you know, the one daughter just recently broke up with her girlfriend and had all the like dramatic issues with that, and the dad's like depressed and whatever. And so it just ends really like in the dark with like slow movement, like it takes him a fucking half an hour to walk out the door, and I'm like, I don't know why we did it that way.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was leaving, Thanksgiving was over.
Yeah, and like we went and saw Delicate Balance with Glenn Close and I can't remember who the male lead was. And it, you know, it's just another one. We're like, and everybody just walks out. And you're like, wait a minute, sum this up. Recap this shit.
Yeah. And it felt like, it really did feel like everything was over. Like, everybody was getting their ride and everybody was leaving and, you know, goodbyes and whatever. And then, like, the power goes out and the dad goes to fix it and then he gets stuck. And then, like, a half an hour later, he's still walking out the door and you go... I don't know why.
Yeah, it is odd.
What? I still don't know. Somebody will have to explain it to me at some point. Also, I've just spoiled the whole play for you.
Yeah, because... Oh, at the end, the power is going to go out.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
Spoiler alert.
So I just decided to go do stuff. So I made arrangements to go visit Mama Di up with Swim
very nice.
Enjoy her pool. And we had a little luncheon, a little snack.
We had a dust storm.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Dust devil.
Yeah.
Came through a little microburst, and I, like, in the pool, and the pool boy was there doing his token jobs.
That would be me.
I assume.
Okay, got it.
So, I look up in the air, and I'm, like, watching these birds, like, all of a sudden took off and flying crazy, and I was like, wait, and there's all kinds of plastic bags and shit in the sky, and I'm like... Well, that's odd.
A twister.
And then it like comes over the fence from the yard next door, and there's and like lifts the umbrella up in the air, knocks over the table, things start flying, and all of a sudden, like, oh, well, no, we're in the middle of this motherfucker. Like, this isn't something we're watching. This is something we're part of. And I'm just in the pool, like, kind of like looking around, trying to, because luckily the umbrella and the table didn't come my way. It went away. Because
yeah.
I was just sitting there staring at shit.
Sure.
I was so amazed by it. Well, then we, like, watch it go over to the next people's lawn, and it takes... Like, her umbrella just went up slightly and tipped over. The one next door and the one after that, like, went up in the air like Mary Poppins.
Oh, my God.
But, like, hundreds of feet in the air.
We're sort of watching them.
Where you're kind of like, is that still that umbrella? And they're just circling, like, way up there with garbage and, like, all kinds of crazy shit.
Totally.
Just going house by house, picking shit up and, like, having like, swirling. It was so surreal.
It was.
Stone Cold Sober.
Being in Twister.
Cold Sober. And I'm like, what are we watching?
One of the umbrellas we know came down, like, in a park area where nothing was. But the other one, we were...
good mile away. Like, this was a long ways going and really high up. And I'm like, when that motherfucker comes down, it could kill somebody. Like, if you weren't looking.
Because, I mean,
it didn't hear the whistling noise.
Umbrella through your head. Yeah.
Right. Through the head, through your windshield, through the roof of your house. Like, I don't know
I saw every one of those movies.
How that torpedo's coming back to Earth. But at some point, it's coming
it's
down.
It's coming back, yeah.
Yeah.
What are ways to kill people in Final Destination?
It was very interesting to watch,
but we never saw the other umbrella land. It finally got so far away that you couldn't see it anymore. Yeah. Like, there was just, like, a speck in the sky. Like, this thing was in Vegas.
Wow.
Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like,
I wonder if it made it all the way to the circus.
Right.
Which is just there in the middle of nowhere.
2.6 miles away from... So, for those playing, I guess the hotel that we were staying in, the first time I went, I stayed at Circus only once.
Okay.
But that story doesn't make sense because it was like the next trip or the next year that we saw them film. It wasn't the first trip to Vegas and watching them film. So there must have been a hotel there that's no longer there or like something that comes up front. But we could see them filming the car scene with Dustin Hoffman learning to drive in the driveway of Caesars. Because we were like watching it from the window drinking. Like, what the fuck are we watching? And we're like, oh, it's a movie. And then come to realize, like, everybody was talking about Tom Cruise being there all day.
No.
Because he was new and young and quite the hot ticket.
And what
time.
What movie was that?
Rain Man.
Oh, it was Rain Man. Yeah.
World's one of the worst movies ever made.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's awful. Don't do it.
I know, shocking. I haven't seen a movie, but I haven't seen it.
You've never seen Rain Man?
Nope. Definitely not. Definitely not.
Excellent driver.
Yeah.
I've only seen scenes of stuff, obviously.
Sure, yeah, you know the pop culture references.
Even Mariah should be against that movie because that is
didn't it get all kinds of accolades and awards?
Yeah, and everybody needs to look back at that movie and realize what they did wrong. Uh-oh. Dustin Hoffman is just offensive. It's that old, and it was ruined by Ed. What's that young actor's name? He was in
Ed Begley Jr.
No, he was a younger guy back then. Ed Norton. Norton did the movie where he could turn off. Playing a handicapped person, he could turn it off and on because it was part of the plot, was that most people thought he was slow because he was doing this Rain Man imitation, but then, like, he would turn it off and, like, go back to living his life, but he was doing it to, like, be a bank robber. That, or I just did a spoiler if you ever find that movie.
Oh.
But it really did show how, like, fake and horrible all these people pretending to be handicapped is on TV. Like, it's offense. And Dustin Hoffman is one of the most offensive performances.
Oh.
And he's just hitting...
Well, now I just want to see it just to experience this.
But Tom Cruise is really... The part to recommend is Tom Cruise, whose character grows and learns and becomes a, you know... It's the worst plot device in the world. Meet a handicapped person, become a better person. Like,
I'm going to assume... Obviously, you're the way that you're describing this movie, very different than the performance in... was it Who's Eating Gilbert Grape?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah. Where... What's his name? DiCaprio plays the brother who's a little challenged.
And I mean, it's also the thing of getting an unknown actor. Like, I had never seen Leonardo DiCaprio till that movie.
Right.
Till What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Because he was a child.
But I honestly thought, well, he had been on, like, Growing Pains. He had a couple little credits here and there. But I honestly didn't. I didn't think that was acting at all. I thought
they'd hired a special person.
Yeah, no, and I say it all the time, because my so-called life was on, hiring somebody with a disability that you're trying to portray was something that was currently happening. Like, Corky on My So-Called Life. Like, nobody was dressed up in horrifying makeup. They didn't Mickey Rooney that. So I just assumed, they found someone. Cool. You know, like the kid on, now he's on, what's that show called? Speechless. That kid has that, that's not
that an, show's still on.
God. Yeah. Thank God they didn't hire someone to play that part. That kid actually has all those disabilities. I think he's a little bit tiny bit more able to walk than in the show.
Okay.
But that's someone that has a disability that also wants to be an actor. Like, I think we can do it. Like, I don't think we ever need to see Dustin Hoffman play Rain Man again. Like, Mickey Rooney play Agent. I think we can safely say.
Well, he's dead.
Right.
But anyways, solves that problem.
I digress. So it was a fun day. Spent the day there. Met up with
some. We are going everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Just it gets unfocused with three people.
You had to have been staying at the Mirage.
No, it didn't exist yet.
Was it?
Yeah,
the
Mirage didn't exist then.
That's what it like. It did.
Treasure Island.
Whatever was didn't exist yet. That.
The Red Rooster.
It might be like the Gold Coast.
Sensuchi, the Castaways.
Now,
or were you across the street at the Flamingo?
No, we were right next. We were just south of Circus Circus. So it's gone.
South of Circus Circus.
Yeah, just south of Circus Circus.
You're at the Bellagio then, or the Dunes.
None of those things. The Dunes existed.
Yeah.
But
that's what used to be next to it, just across the road to the south. Otherwise, there's nothing to the
south.
Yeah,
because there's Caesars, and there's a street, and then there would be the next.
Flamingo Road.
Flamingo Road.
Which is,
and then the Bellagio, which used to be the Dunes.
Oh, it must have been the Dunes.
That's probably where you were.
But anyway, so and then went to
Google Map of Las Vegas 1985.
Oh, look at you! That's fun.
Oh, well, well played you.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Find the silver slipper on there. So
where's the Where's Waldo of the show?
Met up with Ravaloka and called him to find out because it was his birthday last week, and happy birthday to him. So we met up at Diablo's, and then just as I'm walking in, they're auctioning off
Fernelli
for Sexiest Bartender,
mm-hmm.
which was just funny. So I ended up spending some time visiting with him and Rob, and it was a fun night.
Very fun.
And then went for drinks with Doug's. I haven't seen Doug in ages. So we went to Southern Rail to have a little happy hour and not eat. And then Willie walks in and out of nowhere, and we're like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, why right. Southern Rail on a Sunday at 4 p.m.? Like, what makes that make sense?
Because why not?
Because why not was the answer. So, and then we found out the sad news that French Grocery only has two more weeks. And like, 7th Avenue and Missouri is...
What's happening?
Killing us. They're not renewing their lease. I guess they wanted the whole building or to try and buy the building, and they weren't. So hopefully it's just a move to another location.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Hopefully they're going to stop serving food in like 11 days, and then they're just going to stay open as a wine store till the wine is gone. They're just going to...
No.
My gosh.
Last girl till freeway it. And so it was...
Well, that's it. Well, hopefully it'll be a move for you, because I know you guys really like that place. I've never been, but I mean...
Just my favorite. So it was very sad. I don't think this bottle of wine is from there.
Well, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that corner. If they're letting their lease go, I mean, it's been a... Now, did...
But Mucho Macho Taco is allegedly staying, so who knows?
Oh.
It's all kinds of drama about people not wanting to, like, get... It's a bequeathed property that's part of someone's estate, and, like, no one's letting go of it. And I'm like, are they hanging out for, like, something bigger, but Sylvia's is abandoned?
Right. That was going to say...
Diagonally,
that,
like...
That corner is suffering right now because Sylvia's did a huge remodel. La Piñata moved in, killed Sylvia's, so they're gone. You got a Starbucks. Your French Grocery across the street's now going to go away.
Yeah.
Because that needs to be a corner.
Right. It's kind of odd. So that was sad, but it was a fun... It was a fun week of visiting with people. And
I know the people outside of our immediate area love hearing about geography and things happening with us.
We spent 30 minutes on the Vegas trip.
That's true. I know, we did.
Yeah, there's that.
And you, I know, we're still on you. God, it's been... We really do need that fourth person.
To help move us along?
Can't stress enough.
No, I think we just got lost in a black hole of Vegas-ism.
Oh, I miss Vegas. Let's go to Vegas.
I saw Fernelli on Sunday. I hosted the second day of a two-day event that happens every year called Splash Bash. And then part of Splash Bash, they've incorporated it. It used to be at a bar here in town that I used to work at called Apollo's. It's called the Sexiest Bartender Contest, and it technically has nothing to do with whether or not the bartender is sexy or not. It is a fundraiser wherein a liquor sponsor, and for the past several years, it's been Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Handmade.
Mm-hmm. And by God, do not say just Tito's Vodka. That Handmade has to be in there. That's legally
mandatory.
In their rider. So anywho, we did the event, and all of the what happens is bartenders or people from around the city have to create a cocktail based on Tito's Handmade Vodka, and then whatever the hell else they want to put in it. And there were some very, very good entries this year. Very cool. So I hosted that event poolside at the Embassy Suites Hotel here in Phoenix on Sunday. Saul Fernelli, he told me that he'd run into you about all of that stuff. And then fortunately, I got to explain, because you had said to me about his plate being rather full with regards to Pride and all. Mm-hmm. So I asked him to explain to me exactly what all the hell he's doing, and he did. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that's not a job that goes away because the festival.
Right, no, you've got that, and then obviously personal life, and then a bar he's also co-running with other people. So he's got his plate is quite full. Anywho, they raised over $20,000 for the charity. this year, which was great. I mean, 20,000 more than they had.
Feels like a lot.
Yeah.
It's one in charity. Ten?
Nope. It was for Ripple Phoenix. Which is not even a not-for-profit yet. They've applied for it.
Yeah, they haven't got that. But Ripple Phoenix, it basically, the way that it was explained to me by Jeremy Bright, who used to be with the Ignite and the Parsons Center for Wellness and all that stuff downstairs, they broke out because when you take funding from a lot of these big agencies and whatever, they get to dictate what you do, how your outreach goes, what quotas you have to hit. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is he said that because they're specifically going for, or at least with that program he was with, they're going for gay men particularly. So no matter where you go, I believe he said 75 to 80% of whoever is there has to be gay men. That was one of the criteria. And if you...
Oh, when he was with Ignite?
When he was with Ignite, yes. And he got tired of having to deal with all of the restrictions. And so he wanted to go back to basically how it started back in the day when you and I were younger, a grassroots effort where we're just out there spreading the word. We don't give a shit who listens, but there's no quota. So they're actually not taking funding from large agencies and large places. They're taking private donations for people who just want to help. And give like we used to do back in the early 90s. There was a lot of crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding.
Grassroots. So that's what Ripple Phoenix is doing. And I had to ask him that because obviously I was promoting it. He's asked me to like the page. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're doing. So sit down, talk to me about 20 minutes. And I'm like, wow, I had no idea that there were that many restrictions connected to an outreach. I would think you would just be like, anybody going to listen? Like, just tell anybody. Who cares? Yeah. But they were very specific about allocation of funds and this and that. And he's like, I just didn't want the restrictions.
He's invited me more than once to be, like, really involved in it. And I just don't have the time right now. Like, I've had to apologize.
Of course you don't.
I've had to apologize to him, like, 100 times. Because I just don't quite have the time for a lot of volunteer work just now.
Well, I mean, and they have to work on their branding. Because Ripple is a charity out of Africa. It's also, Ripple Phoenix is an orthopedic surgeon, but this Ripple XRP does currency. They've got their name on Ellen. There's like people involved, so like if I can't get to it with
a Google search, right?
Yeah.
Well, then in fairness, the Facebook page has only been up, I don't even know, has it been a month that the Facebook page has
maybe
been around?
A little longer than that.
But he's
I'm just saying, like, as they go forward, it might
they've
be
they got to figure that out.
If they're sharing a name with a different charity.
Because I asked him why
it's got Ashton Kutcher and Ellen DeGeneres involved.
I asked him why the name, and he said, because I want to go back to, like, again, he keeps specifying that it was grassroots, blah, blah, blah. Small and tiny.
Make just a ripple, then just a
right.
Wave.
He wants.
Come on, be brave.
I make a ripple, and then my ripple affects somebody else, and it's everybody's ripple.
I got you there with Sondheim. You didn't need to expound on it.
Not everybody listens to Sondheim.
Every week I look to see if that's in karaoke yet, because it needs to be.
So anyway, that was a good time. Got to hang out with David Hernandez and screw around with him and have fun on with all of the promotion people and everything.
So who won?
The winners were. A guy named Evan May from BS West won for best cocktail.
Oh, very nice.
In his cocktail, which I didn't get to sample. I wish I would have. I think the reason he won is because he used that spice tahine in it, and nobody else did. Like, so his had a certain distinct flavor.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to BS on Thursday to support somebody else. So I thought maybe he's there. I'll ask him to make it.
Oh, very nice.
So anyway, he won best cocktail. Then there was... talent, which Devin Rice Miller from Stacy's won, and he's the one who was spinning fire.
Dangerous.
And I was
good thing it was a pool party.
Seems like a bad idea.
No, but that's what somehow in his family, as he was raised, I don't know if he
by
was
carnies,
a carny.
Apparently.
I don't know, right? He actually spins fire, and it's crazy to see.
And he's a real carny. Don't have Dustin Hoffman pretend to be a carny.
Right.
Use a real
one. An actual carny.
Yeah. So talent went to Devin. Cocktail was Evan. There was I forget who that was, but overall
Kevin wins soon because
overall the winner was Mikey Phillips from Ozbar, who raised the most money out of everybody. They wouldn't tell me what the breakup was of the money, but it doesn't really matter. $20,000 overall was raised.
Well, that's fantastic. But good for Oz to get their name on the board for something.
He did a hell of a job. He did a really good job. It was very cute to see.
I will finish that sentence.
It's It's very.
We shouldn't.
Won't you be my neighbor? Because I really can't. Don't have a lot of room to talk.
So anyway, that was fun. The other thing of this week has been a challenge, and I know you've been involved because we talked about it. Computer failures really, really, really suck.
Oh,
and
no.
I know you went through it with your Surface.
Oh, I almost died when that thing went down. In fact, I had to buy a new one immediately.
So Friday, last Friday afternoon at, I believe it was 3:36 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Time of death?
Well, yeah, because had run an errand, and I came back into the house, and I looked at my computer screens, and there that look of, hey, your screens look when the computer shut off, and I'm like, huh, was the power out? That's kind of odd. So I looked around and realized, no, power had not been out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it just, I reviewed camera footage and found out it just died. It literally just did a reboot, I heard a beep, and then it died, and it wouldn't restart. Multiple searches, Google search, this, that, and the other thing. We tried replacing the power supply. That wasn't it. I have a brand new motherboard inbound from a place, and that's the final thing. It's literally like a heart transplant.
Yeah,
it's the final thing. So hopefully that'll come back up.
Because hopefully it doesn't reject the organ.
Without that, I can't at this point post the shows and do any of that editing that I usually do, because that setup is all for that. So. If we have to recreate the wheel, we will. But otherwise, just computer things suck. So again, fortunately, all my data is backed up. I'm not worried about that.
Right.
But as a reminder to all of you people out there, back up your stuff, because you don't know when it's just all going to die. Oh. You never know.
I'm going to go back up my show tunes immediately.
Oh, you should.
They haven't been backed up in a while.
You should always back up.
I know. It worries me every time I take the thing out and take it to the bar. I'm always
just set the thing back to factory settings. That fucking shit's in the cloud. Like, it'll come back.
Oh, most of my shit is in the cloud. Yeah,
it's all just music, but I'm afraid the virus is in the cloud.
No.
Well, that's why I have my data's on a second drive within it. My operating system is on one drive, but also within the operating system, there are a lot of programs that are used, because that's where they have to reside. Yeah. But no, I'm not worried about losing my data.
I have no. I play solitaire and I listen to music.
Okay, you're fine.
I don't even do my checking on there anymore. I just do that on my, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Your phone, right.
They simplified
I've got 3 video suites. I've got 2 graphic suites.
Right, exactly. I can't lose any of that.
Can't even use those words in a sentence.
Well, let's. I don't know.
Yes, again. I don't know what a graphic suite is. Full sentence.
It's a lot of programs that do all the graphics.
Are you obsessed? Is it keeping you up at night? Do you find yourself constantly making references only to be met with blank stares?
Obsession.
This segment is for you.
Obsession.
Whether it's musicals, mowers, Motown, Subarus or Sondheim, it's time to share your obsession.
Obsession.
With the show, with Clayton McKee.
For once, he said Sondheim, a reference earlier, and you're talking to mowers. It made that whole intro completely relevant. How nice.
How is it week after week I forget this is a segment?
You do every single week.
Every time it plays, I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't have an obsession.
In fairness, I don't have one either, really.
I might have nothing. I'm watching old episodes of Kimmy Schmidt because I know the new ones are out, but I'm watching old ones. Right. I landed back in the middle of season 2, and I've just said, well, we'll just keep going forward. Why skip?
Two turtle doves. Whatever episode has.
Baby corns. Listen.
Here's what you should do. A DJ, his poor mother. That's season 1.
It's season 1. That's very funny.
You mean put on a one-woman show for all my friends to watch? Yeah.
There's no new music. There's no new musical. I got nothing. I got Kimmy Schmidt. And
that's a good one.
T-shirts and the end.
At some point, I'm going to get into the Kimmy Schmidt. I figured it's just going to be one of those things where it'll be raining and I'll be locked in the house, and someday I'm just going to binge watch all of it.
And the rewatch is very fun because there are tiny, tiny little jokes in there that I 100% missed the first time that are just knocking me off of my couch.
There's an episode this season that I was just kept getting distracted. So I'm like, all right. And I would catch a joke and be like, oh, that's funny. And then I finally sit down and watch it. And like, they're just flying at you.
So many.
Oh, there's just too many references. Just fucking wrong. Give it to me straight. That's gross. And the whole thing about the fact that they live in a ship, that the apartment building is really a crash ship, and she's
this tugboat.
Finally going to find out that it's a tugboat that's crashed and got turned into an apartment building. There's so many fucked up little running jokes.
Just tiny little ones. I know.
So mine has been Netflix. That's I've just like
good choice.
Yeah. Between Kimmy Schmidt and finally breaking down and watching the remixed version of Arrested Development, which I thought was just not going to work because I'm like, work a little harder. Oh,
it works.
It works. Good. And it is, it really is. It gets right to the funny. Like, you don't have to like be set up.
Okay.
Now, is the remix version what you were talking about weeks ago where everybody had to film it at different times and they put it all together? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but they're not, like, each person has their own episode. So, and then a couple people have two, but it's like, it's Michael's Arrested Development, it's Jessica, the C word, it's Jessica Walters' Arrested Development. So each character has their own episode, and you have to kind of put it together chronologically on your own.
Gotcha.
Well, this one, they make it just about the regular show, and they split it up, so each, there's not one character. But the funny thing about the other way was, the way that they could do it was with Liza Minnelli. Because Liza Minnelli had to be in so much of that show to hold the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times it was not the actor. It was just someone in a wig pretending to be the actor interacting with Liza Minnelli.
Okay.
So this way they're, like, by episode two, you've already lost a lot of Liza Minnelli. And, like, the joke of Tobias doing the spin, is that a gal I see? No, it's just a fallacy. And he spins. And you can't figure out why everybody thinks he's gay. And, like, that's not in the opening of every episode, so you don't have, like, there's a couple places where it loses, but mostly it really was funny. So so that's been mine, and I'm waiting for to do the Hulu and the Westworld. I'm waiting for Handmaid's Tale and Westworld.
Westworld is HBO.
Yeah, but I want them to finish, because I don't like that week at a time. Like, I need it all released at once.
Oh, sure. I still need to watch season one. I haven't got there yet. Very busy.
Of which one?
Westworld.
Oh, it's worth it.
No. I refuse to watch The Handmaid's Tale.
That's a thinker.
That's a no.
SNL did a funny thing on that. You?
I was trying to think. Do I have a show obsession? That's I don't really think I do.
It could be a different thing.
I have been oddly. I'm finding that I do enjoy Jimmy. Is it Kimmel? He's ABC, right? Jimmy Kimmel. I'm finding that I enjoy Jimmy Kimmel's humor a lot more than I thought I did.
Yeah.
So, because I've been flipping over and his monologue.
The farther away from the man show he gets, the funnier he gets.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. And also I watched because he had Jodie Foster on last night. His first guest out
was
Jodie
Foster.
Can't
farther away from the man show than Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster,
which was which was very interesting because I learned a couple things about Jodie Foster. Obviously, we knew she was on crutches at the Academy Awards. She walked out. She's got a very nice cane. So she's like, you know, the ski accident is eventually going to be healed up. And he's like, well, are you going to go back? She goes, well, of course I'm going to go back. Of course I'll go back on the hills. But I learned a little bit about her from the standpoint of her older sister was always responsible for babysitting her. And what they used to do is they would take Jodie Foster, give her money, and drop her off at a theater at like 10 a.m., like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
They would drop her off, and she would see movies, and she's like, I saw movies that I probably shouldn't have seen, because they didn't know what they just dropped her off.
I saw The Missouri Breaks when I was like 10 years old, should not have seen that movie, probably 8. I think The Missouri Breaks is like 75.
Yeah.
But it's all that, just out of our hair.
Get out of this
so
house.
She was talking about her childhood and how she grew up right there, like just a couple blocks from that studio where they were filming. Her whole life has been in L.A. It just was very interesting to hear her little stories about
and
stuff.
And she's the Coppertone model? She's...
I think that's correct. She would have... No, wait.
I get it confused. Because somebody
was... Not Bakhtin.
No,
Campo Phonique.
Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields is the Gerber baby in... Jodie Foster is the getting the
copper tone with the little dog,
with
right?
The dog, yeah.
Yes, copper tone.
That's Jodie Foster.
And then they showed
famous her when she had time to go sit in a movie theater. I don't know because she was on like My Three Sons. Like she was on every TV show.
She was
show.
On everything.
Yeah, she was on every TV show I watched as a kid.
Yeah. And one of the questions he asked her was, "Did you ever get to go do? Were you a viewer and then you got to go be on the show?" She goes, "Oh yeah." She goes, "I always thought that was cool because you know I used to watch all of these shows and all of a sudden." Well, I'm on the show. Very cool. She goes, no, I just go home and watch myself.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Like we do here.
Interesting
Throw
stuff.
Throw it in there.
But then they were showing, they showed a clip of her new movie, which I'm sure you're going to be excited to go see. The Hotel...
Artemis or something
Artemis,
like that.
Yeah. Which, they've got her dressed up to look much older than she is. Very interesting. But anyway,
there's no woman that age that... Well, Jane Fonda, but she's playing younger.
Yeah, she is. Where Foster's playing older this character. I'm sure there's something else, but I can't recall. It doesn't make a difference right now. Let's see if we can get... I don't know how this is going to go. So this will be interesting to see because there's minimal preparation.
same amount of preparation as always. Yeah. None.
We've burned through the hour, though. We made it an hour. That's hour one. That's good. We did it well. Here's a...
Well, we did it.
These are headlines coming at you. The teaser for hour two. How about $10,000 to move to Vermont?
What a shitty train.
One more try at Me Too.
Flint, Michigan has imposters.
Fucking YouTube.
Oh, it's a really fun story about an assassination attempt.
Oh, my gosh. Also, Fudgy the Beer.
Fudgy
coming to a
beer.
Freezer near you.
That sounds awful, and probably another story that sounds awful. And then another one, and another one.
We'll figure them all out, because that's what we do.
I found that one.
That's what we do here at Q Talk.
I found my third one, too.
Oh,
I do
thank
have,
God.
I did have three.
We'll be right back.
Is it done? Did I do it? Did I win?
You did it. You're done. You won.
I won?
You won.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
Educate. Syncopate.